It is Free For All Friday. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology, but on Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. And recently, I was invited onto a podcast with the hosts of the Substack 100 Movies Every Catholic Should See. They are cinephiles. They love film and media. So we had a really great discussion on their podcast just about movies that I enjoy and they enjoy, how Christians should engage in film. I thought this excerpt on my thoughts about fixing Marvel and superhero fatigue, that was really neat to talk about. And I'm hoping you might enjoy hearing my thoughts on that as well. So check it out.
Well, segueing a bit into a fun topic, you talk about comic book movies fairly frequently on your channel. What do you think gives the genre its mass appeal? And do you think we've hit superhero fatigue?
Here's what's interesting. It's like, what counts as a superhero movie? I think what gives it appeal is because there is a natural desire for the hero archetype. So Joseph Campbell wrote the book, A Hero with a Thousand Faces. And if a story is based on the hero's archetype, it will almost always be successful. So, you know, there's an average guy who receives a call to adventure by a wise old man, rejects the call, sees that he needs to actually take the call, goes, encounters the danger, has a setback or a defeat, learns from the error, grows, ultimately defeats the big bad, and then returns home a changed person. You know, so that's the hero's arc. If you just make something based on that, it's going to be successful. So, you know, that's why Star Wars is the hero's archetype. Harry Potter is the hero's archetype. You go through most major films, follow those beats, and it's deep. I mean, you go back to Homer, you go back to all these great stories throughout history. They tend to follow these similar beats. So the superhero genre often follows those beats as well. And people really like it. Like you think about in 2008, Iron Man. Why was it so successful? Well, it's interesting because it's a bit of life imitating art imitating life. You have Robert Downey Jr. playing Tony Stark, and Tony Stark is just this playboy, alcoholic, not great guy who sees throughout of the circumstance beyond his control, realizes he's called to do greater things, and he goes and does that and learns lessons along the way. It's sort of a hero's journey, and Robert Downey Jr. had to go through his own hero's journey to get off his drug addiction and be respectable again in Hollywood. So, you know, that drew people to that. So I think it depends what you define as a superhero story, right? It doesn't have to be a guy in a cape. If it's just like character acquires special powers and does good with them and, you know, and conquers the bad guy. So like, is Harry Potter a superhero movie? If you described it bare bones skeletal wise, it kind of is, though we would call it a fantasy genre. But it's very similar. So I don't believe there will ever be superhero fatigue. There's always going to be... You want to watch a story about a larger than life hero. Maybe his powers don't come from radioactive goo, but you know, or from a gamma experiment, but they come from something. And he's like this larger than life hero. If you define superhero broadly enough, I mean, Indiana Jones is a superhero. Sam Spade is a superhero. You watch Maltese Falcon, like Spade can get himself in and out of any situation that he wants. It's almost preternatural how he can just handle bad guys with such wonderful ease and suave. Obviously they're not, that's, you know, noir and all that. So I don't think there's superhero fatigue. I think there was a serious amount of Marvel fatigue and now people are moving away. I love showing my kids pre-Marvel superhero films because they have their own style. That's not Marvel. It's not bland. And it's exciting. So like the 1989 Batman or The Rocketeer. The Rocketeer is one of my favorite films. I love The Rocketeer. Although now when I look back, I'm like, oh, there's some immodest scenes in this film for kids. It's for kids. But I would call that a superhero film. So no, I don't think there's superhero fatigue. I think there's fatigue for formulaic superhero movies.
Yeah. Well, following right up on that, if you were given the power, how would you fix Marvel's Phase 4? If you could go back post-Endgame, you get a blank slate. How do you fix that?
Oh, yeah. I have thought about this a lot. I've thought about it for, you know, what's funny. I've always sat and I've thought like, if they had just brought me in, I could have fixed this film. A lot of us feel this way, but well, I'll give you an example, not Marvel, but I'll get to Marvel here in a second. So Batman versus Superman, everyone was really hyped about that. And you go back and watch it and it's really dumb. And you're like, this is not a great movie. It has moments. Like the opening to Batman versus Superman, where it's the battle for Metropolis and Bruce Wayne arrives there and rushes towards the collapsing building. My favorite part of the film. It's so good because you see Ben Affleck, Ben Affleck acting like Batman without his suit. And it is just so cool. Like, that opening was awesome. And the rest of the movie's garbage. If I went back in time, I would have told them, all right. So the guy who plays Lex Luthor, he's also the guy who does Social Network. What's his name? Actor, Batman
Jesse
v Superman.
Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg. Yeah, because he's also in Social Network. I would have told him, less Daffy Duck. I want you to just act like Mark Zuckerberg from the Social Network. How do I be Lex Luthor? Just act like you did Zuckerberg in the Social Network, and you would be a great Lex Luthor. That's all you need to do. Then the other thing, the scene where it's like, the end, it's like Batman's going to kill Superman, and Superman's like, Martha. It's like, why did you say that name? It's his mother's name. And it's like, oh, he's not going to kill Superman because Superman's mom is the same name as Batman's mom. Come on, come on, come on, come on, guys. So that could be easily fixed. All you need to do, okay, is at the beginning of the film, it shows Batman becoming Batman, right? His parents get killed in front of him in Crime Alley. What you should have done is at the beginning, you have Thomas Wayne get shot, and then Martha shields Bruce and says, please don't hurt my son. And then she gets shot by the criminal. And Bruce, thinks about this. Then you fast forward, okay? Batman goes, he finds out, he rescues Martha on his own. He goes and does that. And Martha's been rescued, and Batman's about to kill Superman. And then Martha comes in, and well, Batman's going to kill Superman with a kryptonite gun. He's just going to shoot him with a kryptonite gun. And Martha comes in, protects, gets between him and Batman, and says, please don't hurt my son. And Batman's standing there holding a freaking gun. When there is a mom here asking him not to kill her son, and he has a complete and utter break at that moment and realizes what he's become, and then he realizes he's been in the wrong. End scene.
I got
How could they
chills,
not think of that?
man.
How could you
Excellent.
not think of that? Come on, you guys get paid millions of dollars to do this, and I just sat here for like 20 seconds. But anywho, so yeah, I have done this exercise before. So with Marvel, what I would say is either they would have had to have said, okay, people, our next film comes out in 3 years, and we are going to sit down and make a plan, and we are not going to deviate from the plan. Or if we are, it's going to be organic. We're not going to, and we're only going to do one movie a year, one TV series a year. That is it. And maybe a strict rule, the TV series are not essential to the films. But they didn't do that. They threw everything at the wall, and it was clear there was no plan, and it just becomes totally disjointed and chaotic. Or you just do a hard reset. Just say, we're no longer going to do this multiverse. We are just going to let that go. We're starting fresh, and we're telling everyone that. Because there are some, like, for example, I really enjoyed in phase four. I think my favorite outing in phase four was the Disney Plus movie, Werewolf by Night. Like, did you guys see that? Yeah, I mean, it's not great, but it was at least creative. It was a shot at something original. Like, when they do the opening and it has the gothic music and the screams to the Marvel logo, I was like, okay, I'm liking this. So that's, if I could have gone back to fix it, I would have had either you have a plan and another big arc in the multiverse, or you reset. Honestly, I would have just reset because multiverses, you don't have stakes anymore. Like, if a character dies, you can always get them out of the multiverse. So it really ruins the stakes. I would have only maybe done a multiverse, like if you did a phase four, five, and six, like another big arc. The multiverse should only be phase four or five, and then it gets collapsed after Secret Wars, and you now only have one universe, and it will always be one universe, not leading up to just that. So, that's what I think. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I don't know what you guys think, but I could run my head through a second. But I think those are the big problems there. They didn't have that direction. In phases one, two, and three, you could tell where they were going with the Infinity Stones. There was a plan. It just felt all over the place after Endgame.
I don't know if you saw the new Captain America movie or not, but
I can't do. I know everything that happens in it. Like, at my stage of life, I cannot. I only go see a movie if I know it'll be really, really good. Otherwise, I just watch reviews and summaries to catch up on stuff.
this is
So I
not one
know
that
what happens.
you should just go out and see. But
No.
based on stuff that happened in that, plus the fact that they've cast Robert Downey Jr. to come back as Doctor Doom, I think what they're going to be building to next is the new Avengers are going to end up fighting the evil versions of the first Avengers lineup. We're going to have like Tony Stark, Doctor Doom, and we're going to have evil Steve Rogers, and we're going to have evil Hulk. And I'm not excited for that at all. Like, leave my
No, because
heroes the way that they were.
Yeah, it's not earned. It's just, it isn't earned. And there's a lot more interesting stories that you could have told. And also, it's just hard that Marvel became just an assembly line. It's creating content, it's not letting people take risks and create art. Like, I think an underrated Marvel film is the original Incredible Hulk. Like, the Hulk is really scary and good in the Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton. And now it's just not. He's a joke. And so I think that Marvel could have been something really interesting if the directors had more freedom to deviate from the Marvel formula while still having the basic beats to catch to like bring everything together. But I think this whole the multiverse route, it just becomes too unwieldy to have drama for the characters.
Yeah, and they did a similar thing with Thor that they did with Hulk. You had Kenneth Branagh do a really sort of Shakespearean thing with the first Thor movie, and then Taika Waititi comes along and turns him into to comic relief. And
And I mean, there's a balance between the two. Like, I did enjoy Thor Ragnarok, though it's more of an ensemble piece. But yeah, then it just becomes a parody of itself in Thor Love and Thunder. And it's like, what are we doing? Where are we going with all of this?
yeah, that's interesting that you're talking about the idea of a reset, because I feel like DC tried to do that with like they're like, okay, we'll do the Joker standalone, we'll do the Batman standalone, and then they kind of pivoted back to, okay, we're going to imitate the MCU again. So yeah, I guess they almost tried it and then completely like, nope, we're going to do Marvel.
And DC could have done an extended universe in the same way. They had the problem. They rushed into it. Like, they should have done like what similar to the MCU, like start with Wonder Woman. Start with that as your first film, and then go into it, have your Batman film. But I don't know. I'm excited where they're going. If they can just, I really think with comic books, don't try to create a. It was cool with Endgame and the Infinity Saga. But now it's like just tell cool stories from all over the place in comics. That's why I'm excited for James Gunn's Superman, looking from the trailer. Although I think my favorite Superman film, if you're including all the animated ones, is All-Star Superman, based on the All-Star Superman comics. And so that is a really good animated film. I mean, it feels a little rushed because it's trying to compress all the comics into it. But it's basically, for those who aren't familiar, All-Star Superman is about how Lex Luthor tricks Superman to fly too close to the sun. And he basically gets solar radiation so much he gets cancer, solar cancer, and Superman is dying. It ups his power levels a ton, but he's also dying and turning into pure energy. And it's like, okay, what does he do? What does he do to put his affairs in order, knowing that he's going to die? And the cover is great because it just shows Superman sitting on a cloud, just kind of like casually looking at Metropolis, and he's just relaxing. Because it's interesting, like if you were truly invulnerable, like if you were truly invulnerable, you wouldn't walk around with your chest puffed out, flexing your muscles all the time. That's what guys with massive insecurity complexes do. But if nothing could hurt you, you'd just be the most chill, relaxed person. And so I remember someone commenting on this on All-Star Superman on the cover. So I think that portraying Superman in that way. So, I mean, I did enjoy Man of Steel. I liked it, at least in Man of Steel, Superman finally got to fight somebody. Like, the last time we saw him fight anybody was in Superman 2. Kneel before Zod. But even there, it's the best you could do with like 1970s technology. Since then, it's like he doesn't fight anybody in films, except for Nuclear Man, which we're not going to talk about.
Nuclear man.
I'm going to use my special put back the Great Wall of China vision by looking at it. Superman, we're going to fight on the moon, and Lana Lang's going to be okay sitting there watching us fight. Superman 4, yeah, we're gonna pretend that never happened. But yeah, but otherwise it's just so ridiculous. But like, they did a good job, like, oh, this is cool to watch Kryptonians actually fight. But it's just like, why is, I mean, Superman, he's always just like there's the scene where he's in the courthouse. I think it's Batman v Superman, and then the bomb goes off and explodes, and Superman's fine, and he just sits there and he's like all glower, and he's like dour and glowering. He's dour and sad. And I'm like, dude, the whole place just blew up. Real Superman would go and like make sure people are okay. You're just like, being Superman is super hard. I'm like, come on, man. Though I am excited for Henry Cavill. I really hope they make Henry Cavill James Bond. Like, I think he'd be a great James Bond. But Hollywood always dashes my hopes, so I doubt that.
Have
It'll
you seen The
probably
Man from
be.
U.N.C.L.E.?
No, I haven't.
That's he basically plays James Bond in that movie, and it's great.
Okay, there you
It's
go.
very fun.
There you go.
A guilty pleasure.
Yeah, he was great in Mission Impossible. My favorite is the scene where he's in the bathroom fighting and he's like boxing. He's boxing like some kind of 19th century old-timey boxer, and he like reloads his arms to like fight again. I'm like, all right, I'll go with that.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to go and check out 100 Movies Every Catholic Should See. It's a wonderful Substack. You can also check out their podcast. And I hope you all have a very blessed weekend.